Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
And it's Rooney's cross. It's Ibrahimovic! You write the headline. He'll tell the story. It's a one-man queue. His name begins with Z.
Been sloppy at the back, giving away to Gray. Folks on the turn. Perfect start for Bradley. Still on Gray. It's 2-0. Classic counter-attacking football from Burnley.
Lamella takes. Kane is there, and so is Wanyama! Taken on by Raheem Sterling. Nolito, 4 for Manchester City. Guardiola has quickly got them looking right.
Dennis thought about advancing. Diego Costa makes it 2-1 to Chelsea. Red light show again from Diego Costa.
4 years ago, this place belonged to the world. Now it belongs to West Ham.
Hello, football fans, and yes, it is the Soccer Central podcast. James Sharman here, alongside Brendan Dunlop. No Dobby today. Don't know where he is. He is partying this weekend or something.
You really think it's an Olympic hangover?
Could be.
I don't know. His dad's a big Tragically Hip guy. Maybe they went to Kingston together.
No, his old man's in Iceland right now.
Oh, right.
Of all places.
Yes, he asked me about flying WOW Airlines. I said, you're going to say WOW a lot.
So WOW is the Icelandic airline with the crazy deals, right?
It's the Icelandic, like, Tango.
Yeah.
Except with lower standards.
It looked crazy cheap prices.
It could
maybe
be.
WOW could sponsor the podcast given this endorsement.
Imagine that. Yeah. WOW indeed.
We'll get to the
You'd have
later
to
on.
Wait 2 hours to hear the podcast, though, and then you'd have to pay $82 to bring your bag on with your iPod.
Maybe. And when you get there, it's pretty pricey, too, apparently, in Iceland.
Iceland's crazy. Yeah. I had the breakfast buffet in the airport for what was 2,200 kroner, whatever it was they were using, and which translated to, on my credit card bill, $27.
When were you there?
When I went to France.
On
we
the
stopped
way?
In
you
Iceland.
You stopped in Reykjavik?
On the way. Well, not on purpose. It was just the best flight deal. It was like a three-hour stopover.
Wait, the flight didn't stop on purpose. It was an accident. The pilot got lost.
No, this is how those things work. They're trying to convince you that Iceland is great. So they're like, oh, this two-hour stopover, if you're going to save a couple hundred, as it was with us, we bought the flight, you know, the day before to fly the next day to go to France for the final.
Oh, for Euro, you mean? Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
For Euro.
How was the airport?
Well, let me tell you the story about the fantastic $27 breakfast buffet. When you hear buffet, you think, okay, I'm going back for more. No, it's just a buffet plate. It's not all-you-can-eat buffet. It's just a selection from the buffet that you don't even serve yourself to. There's a woman behind the counter, and you can have all the fixings you want.
So, like, there's, like, just hot trays, basically. It's like
exactly.
School dinners.
Yes. It's $27 school dinner.
Wow.
You wouldn't have ever gone back to school.
What do they serve in Icelandic breakfast hubs?
It was very airport-ish.
Whale blubber?
There is the salmon sandwiches were the hot cup of tea
for
in
breakfast?
In the counter. Oh, yeah.
Salmon sandwiches for breakfast?
Salmon sandwiches, like a bit of cream cheese. They put it on like, it looks like naan, but they call
smoked
it like,
salmon?
I don't know, ice bread or something. I think so. I didn't get it.
Smoked salmon.
I spent $27 on the buffet.
I've had smoked salmon and cream cheese in a bagel for breakfast. Lovely.
I think my cousin had that in a coffee and it cost him $18.
Wow.
The salmon sandwich on a cute little Icelandic naan bread looking
Although
thing.
Although most airport. Breakfast.
This is true.
Lunch places are extortionately priced.
Not to throw you under the bus, Iceland, but I've heard that, you know, a pint will run you $11 or $12 during happy hour in Iceland.
But if WOW Airlines wants to sponsor the podcast, contact us through Twitter.
Feedback at thesoccercentralpodcast.ca?
Yep.
That really should
probably get to some soccer at some point.
Or not.
I mean, we'll deviate away, and again, I'm sure, and discuss our favorite breakfast choices.
Like the BELT I'm eating right now.
That's right. Is it BELT?
Well, it's got bacon and egg and lettuce and tomato.
So it's the belt. And it was so you didn't get the BLT.
Correct.
So must
you need egg in the
most frustrating times of my life for it. Tim Hortons. Trying to say, I want the BELT. BLT? BELT. In fact, I think it's name's getting different now, isn't it? Because of that. There was universal disdain for that.
I think most people just get up there and order it, ask for the belt, and then everybody knows.
I wonder what the food's like at the new Upton Park, the Olympic Stadium where West Ham's playing. Segway. See that?
Fantastic segue. We heard it in the opening there.
Yeah, we did.
It was the last bit.
Ah, man.
You're torn?
I'm not sure.
Really?
I'm not sure. People that have been there, Craig Forrest was there for the big unveiling.
Juventus match?
And actually, sorry. He was at the last Upton Park match.
Oh, yeah.
And he saw the Olympic Stadium. And he says it's great when you're in there. It's beautiful. It's well done. And much of it is great. But I'm watching the game. I'm so used to Upton Park. I'm so used to the Premier League being a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And the gap between the fans and the pitch, I found unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so green. I almost would rather see the running track. At least it feels like an Italian soccer match in that case.
Yeah. And they did talk about how, you know, the track wasn't going to be the issue, that they had brought the stands in. And there is not enough room for a track. So clearly they've brought the
stands
in much.
They had
brought
them in closer, but not that close.
You'd have concert level seating if you were to fill the entire track. It's just not built that way. So, you know, understandably, they were never going to fix that problem completely.
Well, the people that designed the thing to begin with, the actual Olympic Stadium, uh-huh, didn't have this in mind, which is so short-sighted. It really was. I think Spurs' plan, because Spurs obviously wanted that site as well, they're just going to tear it all down,
mm-hmm,
and build a new one. But West Ham's architects thought, no, we can do something here. And it's certainly an improvement commercially than Upton Park.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot more money. It's mm-hmm great for the club. It's a ridiculous deal they have there.
Mm-hmm.
Insane 100-year lease for, like, I think it's going to cost them 37p a year or something ludicrous.
Really?
Yeah, that's probably not quite right. But
what a
anyway,
deal.
It's very affordable for them.
Yeah.
They're basically being given this lovely stadium. I'm just unsettled by the big green, you know, gap between. I wonder though, for the players, if it's better being a little bit further from the fans. Certainly for an away team, uh-huh, it's going to be a lot better than Upton Park, where the fans are on top of you.
We'll see how the record goes. I don't think that Bournemouth played any better down a man because they were farther away from the fans. I was thinking about that as well. Obviously, it's a standout. The first aerial shot, even when they do the squad list and they show you the formation, you really get that look. And I mean, it looks like they could just cover it up and play cricket. It looks,
yeah,
like it's built as an
so
oval.
So green, yeah, yeah.
But would it be any better if they were claret and blue ends? Because I thought that as well.
That's a good point.
I thought
maybe
that might. I don't know if that would make it look better, or to me
not,
that would make it stand out.
You're not fooling
anyone
that it's grass.
Yeah,
right. Is, we know that's right. Not grass.
But I think you can do a better job.
You know what? Claret and blue might be a really good idea.
Yeah.
But then the claret would almost look like a track.
Right. Well, I bet you that was someone's thought. That was someone's idea.
I would just have like hundreds and hundreds of little Trevor Brooking clones, his face,
yeah,
on the outside. Yeah.
I was thinking,
cool,
you know, Sullivan and Gold will probably just sell it off to their business partners. But you can imagine what it would look like. You know, people would say, you keep the track there because, you know, you got this ring full of dildos on the side. Or
yeah,
that's still their business, isn't it?
Just for those that don't. Yeah, that's where they made their money, right?
Yeah.
Through porn. How long before they start sponsoring that green?
Mm. Oh, for
put
sure.
Some names in there.
That was the first thing I thought of. I was stunned that it wasn't. Because in the ends, I thought for sure the ends would be. And we see it in Italy all the time. But, you know, old-fashioned us to think you're going to sponsor it with actual physical advertisements. Just sell them digitally.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And the green works. There's your chroma key.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I'm not dismissing. I'm not criticizing West Ham's new ground. It looks amazing. And
that's because you're terrified of Hammers
fans. Yeah, a little
bit.
But if you ignore that part, it does look really nice. And like I said, people that have been there rave about it. Although there were complaints that there were some areas without seats this weekend. Some fans complained, just big concrete blocks, whether they weren't finished yet or whether that's just the way they are.
Yeah.
You should be standing anyway.
This is true, but it's against regulations, right? I know that...
There's safe standing areas at Celtic. I think they're the first British team to try it this season, I think. But there's going to be others coming. I think Villa have been going for it for a long time, trying to get it safe standing. So the terraces
right
are returning,
yeah,
to football. And they should. It makes it more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Get more fans in there,
mm-hmm,
if it's safe standing. Obviously very different to what it was in the 70s and 80s.
Is it Sullivan that's the tiny one?
I can't remember which is which.
I flip the names all the time.
Who wears the big Russian hats?
The tiny one.
The tiny one.
He was speaking to our old mate, Paul Belverston. We used to throw to him on the Fox Soccer News all the time. And Paul Belverston, I think, is about around our height, maybe 6'1 at the tallest. He looked about 8 feet tall next to this West Ham owner. And they were chatting it up. And he said, you know, he was excited, but he complained that they couldn't, you know, reach the capacity of 60, which the stadium is built for. And it's because of these regulations, because of these standing areas that they won't approve. But
right,
they're going to get 60 in. I think it's because it's probably built with, you see all these other Olympic stadiums. And Wembley has a few areas where they build these massive waiting areas for media, probably, and gathering pools, be it could have been runners or could have been, you know, wherever they need to put a high concentration of people to either move them in and out. and you've just never built it for seats. So you probably have a few of these flat decks, and you can see kind of how, you know, oddly spaced it is. It's not the usual incline of a stadium.
No, it's certainly not. It's much flatter.
Certainly not the incline of West Ham. So, you know, in the past, I think at Upton Park, if you were sitting beside someone who was 6'5" and had Marouane Fellaini hair, it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Now your knee's in the back of their head.
Yeah, you're right. So
let's be honest, at West Ham, it's probably going to happen anyway.
When Marouane Fellaini gets transferred to West Ham and gets sat on the bench, don't be sitting behind him. Because even in that first row, if you're behind the dugout, so to speak, you're not getting past Fellaini's hair. It's that flat. Fellaini, though, I don't know if he's going anywhere.
Mm.
Another good segue there. Fellaini's playing really well. United win again, 2-0 over Southampton. Obviously, Ibra stole the show. Paul Pogba was brilliant in his debut, I thought. But let's just talk about Fellaini right now. And also Mata, because both these guys are starting games, whereas most people thought they wouldn't. Are they purely being showcased? Because they're both playing pretty well, Fellaini in particular.
I don't think that Fellaini is going to move, to be honest. Maybe in January, but I think right now, I think he's the type of player that Mourinho thinks he can use. They still have cup games to play. You know, they're still going to play a lot of matches. He's a great player for depth, and I think that he makes that midfield considerably more dynamic for Mourinho, which he still wants to have all those options. He doesn't want to, you know, have it be one team or one team built around Pogba. This is a dream come true for him to be able to be so versatile. So I think that Fellaini works quite well. Mata is fantastic. Mata, to me, is one of the most, maybe versatile is not the right terms, but certainly most dangerous players in the Premier League. It just doesn't fit the bill for Mourinho. And, you know, you can't blame him, to be honest. There's other players in the side that can do the same type of job. I think Juan Mata's fully earned his keep. At the same time, you know, he's going to earn you 30, 35 mil. There's a couple of clubs that would be dying for him. I don't know if Juan Mata wants to go to Palace, but there's be a couple of clubs that would love a player like him.
Yeah, I agree. I think out of the two, he's the more likely to leave still, even though he's, like I said, he's playing well. He's started two games now, and Jose seems to be using him in a decent place in the field. You know, you're not going to rely on him to track back, obviously, but I think if any of those two players are being showcased, it's probably him. But it'll be less acrimonious departure this time around, I think, if he leaves somewhere for somewhere else. But I'm watching Fellaini the last couple of weeks, and he's just doing really simple things. It seems when he tries to do too much is when he gets into trouble.
Yep.
And in fairness, he's been moved around the pitch in so many positions under the last two managers. It seems he's kind of found a place two games in, you know, sitting deep, and he's playing just short 5-10 feet passes. He's winning balls, and he's a real threat on set pieces. And now you've got this attack from set pieces for United. You've got Pogba, who's what, 6'3"? Ibra's, I think, 6'4", 6'5". Fellaini's not far off. You got some big boys in there.
Yeah, they're
a tall team. I think it offers a lot for United's attack. And with Fellaini sitting where he's sitting right now, it's allowing Pogba to really have free reign and do what he wants. And we wondered, where would Pogba fit in? When we saw that lineup come out, he's playing in the two, in a 4-2-3-1. Didn't work for France. Oh, God, actually, it worked really well.
Yeah.
Because Fellaini was happy to just sit back and do the dirty work, and Pogba was allowed to go wide, and it worked really well. Well, and I thought he was just, for his first game, with a bunch of new players, he was outstanding.
Yeah. Well, and he's a fantastic player.
I suppose.
And, you know, I don't think it's a shot at France at all. It's just truth. This is a considerably better team on paper than any of the French squads that, you know, they were allowed to roll out there. So Didier Deschamps, you know, didn't have the luxuries to work with that Jose Mourinho has. The Friday games, you like them?
I do.
It's a bit odd,
from a purely
isn't it?
Selfish standpoint, because over here we get to watch meaningful soccer on a Friday afternoon. If you're an away supporter, it sucks.
Right.
Right? And, you know, like, for example, the Southampton game, those fans had to travel 400 miles or thereabouts on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people in Southampton work. There's other parts of the world you say probably aren't. Southampton, they're working.
Yep.
So I feel for those guys. But listen, it's not about the fans. It's never about the fans. This is about the TV, evil TV networks having another window to sell games. That's what it comes down to. And you know what? As someone that relies on TV, I'm very happy for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, though, that I'm disappointed that it takes away from no Monday game today. You know, nothing against Celta Vigo and Leganes. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce the newly promoted side. But
Lajunas.
I'd rather watch Premier League today.
Yeah, but Sunday or Monday, it's a flip, you know. Are you more into football on the Monday or the Friday?
I think from a purely selfish media preparation standpoint, the Monday, because the Monday allows me to extend my recapping of the weekend until the Monday game ends.
See, so
whereas the Friday,
inevitable.
Your prep needs to be done, well before Friday afternoon.
The podcast for us,
it's better.
It's great. Mm. We're not saying, well, great weekend. Manchester United play Man City later today. It's never that game, but you know what I mean.
So, did you put the phone in? Who did you call at the offices to get that?
To get it. The game,
mm-hmm.
or
no, to get this structure so that
I had dinner with Richard Scudamore a couple of times earlier this summer before the deals were signed, and suggested my thoughts, and here you have it.
And then you got up from the table, and then one of the Golds or Sullivan walked in.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that it?
Yeah, with like these beautiful girls in both arms. Right. That's what I kind of envision the Golds and Sullivans when they walk into dinner and meetings. They have these beautiful girls in both arms.
What's in the gift bags when you attend a function at West Ham?
What, a lot of DVDs?
Yeah.
And it's not West Ham's 2015-16 season DVDs.
No, wouldn't be.
And some other things which I don't know what to do with. I mean, I stir my chili with one of them, you know?
Great. Yeah.
Kitchen.
Utensil?
Utensil.
That's the word you're looking for.
Utensil, yeah.
Have you seen Neighbors 2?
I haven't seen Neighbors 1.
No?
No.
It's actually very good.
Is
I don't
it?
Know if you're a Seth Rogen fan or not.
I have seen it. He's great.
Then Dobby isn't.
But this is about people like me, isn't it?
Well,
old people with families and cool kids moving next door. Isn't that what it's about?
That's a great way to sum it up. But there's a theme towards the kitchen utensil you were talking about that's very prevalent in the second film, which is quite hilarious and very much you and Seth Rogen. I didn't notice the similarities, but in just hearing glimpses of your parenthood, yeah, you probably.
I think me and Seth Rogen would get on really well.
I think you would.
I think he could be a good guy to go for some beers with.
Mm-hmm.
And with Gordon Sullivan. So.
How many beers, though, before he starts impersonating what he believes is your Australian accent?
Yeah, probably not very many.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a really funny sketch. Tom Green. Remember the Tom Green show? You were probably very young.
I do remember.
Cable. God, it was,
he was with Drew Barrymore.
Scandy behind the glass remembers it. I loved it. It was the funniest freaking show. And he, one of his bits, I think, was with his grandmother. And she was cooking the family secret recipe for chili or something, and he gave her one of these David Sullivan kitchen utensils to stir the pot with. It was so awful and so awkward. Anyway, and I think he got her to lick it afterwards as well.
Oh boy, this is before YouTube, so you can't even go and find that.
No, they should put those Tom Green shows on YouTube, man. They were so good. Where is Tom Green nowadays? What's he doing in Hollywood still?
He might still live there.
He's got some satellite radio show or something.
I have no idea.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared. He married Drew Barrymore. Is he still married to her? He didn't last, no? I was quite jealous of him.
That was quite brief.
It was quite a Drew fan.
Drew Barrymore fan?
Really? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, fun girl.
Is it like a weird like E.T. thing?
Well, no, because I mean, when I watched E.T., she was still much younger than me.
Yeah, but I know, but then she grew up to be a model and you're like, oh, amazing.
I just found her very, very sexy.
Really?
And something about her, I think she'd be fun to go out with beer. Her and Seth Rogen and me, dinner, fun. And David Sullivan and David Gold.
Yes, those. What a party.
Yeah, what a party.
What a table.
What do you make of Ibra's second match in the Premier League?
I think he's going to score 30 goals.
I think he might too.
Don't you?
Well, got a tweet, Ludovic Lubier, Ludalube, at Ludalube. That's a great Twitter handle.
Yeah, big.
He says, Zlatan looking like the best striker in the EPL, as Costa was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah,
two games
so.
In and it's early, but he's just bossing. He just looks comfortable there.
Looks very comfortable, and he looks comfortable with everyone around him. And I think one of the things that was quite noticeable at PSG, he walked around like he was miles better than everyone else and no one can touch him. Whereas now he knows he's phenomenal, but I think there's that superstar type of respect where he knows this team around him is better than any of the teams they were able to expensively assemble at PSG. Call it out for what it is. They spent a lot more money than United, well, minus the Pogba purchase, but
sure.
Two or three of those years, they were well over the 75 mil mark in purchases.
Yeah, when they signed Javier Pastore, Ibra's still thinking, well, I'm still the guy,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you spend on him. I agree, and I think that it seems that in previous incarnations, it's all been about Ibra. I'm at this club now, it's further in my career now. I get the impression now he sees the end, it's in sight, despite he still believes he's still the best in the world. But he's at this club now, and he thinks this club can actually carry me a little bit, and I can rely on these guys around me to really maybe get that Champions League trophy, which he just craves so much.
And if we're talking, what, 15 goals at Christmas, which isn't that unrealistic. Certainly considering the rate at which he's scoring now and some of the fixtures that they've got coming up. And the way he's being used is that lone number nine. Mm-hmm. Those balls are going to be falling conveniently for him, and there's not another person I'd want in the box.
Now, if you're in a pool, which I'm sure most people are, I'm sure he's got to be the most popular purchase, surely, this season.
Yeah, he wasn't the highest price on the Premier League fantasy to start.
Aguero?
Aguero was.
Fair enough.
Rooney might have been higher.
But, more than Ibra?
Well, but,
who
but
says
it,
he's priced?
Because it's set on popularity as well, right? Rooney's a pick for 90% of United fans, I would assume. And there's millions of them worldwide. He's just a bigger name. It comes comes from that. You know, last year you would have got Sadio Mane for 5. Now I bet you he's worth 12. But to go back to Ibra, if he scores 15 at Christmas, I bet you he's thinking, hey, Ballon d'Or, let's go.
Sure.
You know,
why not?
Completely driven. And I think that the way the structure is without Champions League for them this year, the world is Ibra's oyster.
It's huge, yeah. I mean, you wonder how much he'll be used in the Europa League. Probably not very much in the early stages. And wouldn't it be great, though, you know, we're going to see the City-United rivalry all year long if there's going to be an Aguero-Ibra-Golden Boot rivalry forming, which might well happen if they can stay healthy, and that's obviously always the big if.
Those don't seem like two guys that would enjoy a beer together.
No?
I don't think so.
No? No. You know who would be good together?
Ibra?
Ibra and Pogba. Did you see their post-match interview? It was great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Pogba, Ibra is kind of giving Pogba crap for not passing the ball at the end.
Amazing.
And then in the end, Pogba gives Ibra the Man of the Match award. And Ibra says, see, you can pass the ball. You can pass. It's like, great.
Yeah.
It's human side to Ibra and Pogba. Good pals.
Would you look at that?
What concerns me, though, is that United are becoming a little bit likable.
Oh, yeah?
And I it will soon change.
Yeah.
It has to change.
I think so.
For me and my... my fandom to a certain team, I can't really embrace that. But
I love
Pogba. I like Ibra. I always have. It's just difficult. Hopefully, Fellaini starts doing some stupid things. Rooney does something really controversial to kind of, you know, turn me against. I'm not turned onto them per se, but I'm enjoying watching them. That's for sure.
So we spoke last year about, you know, is there a team apart from your own that you go out of your way to watch or try to prioritize, particularly if they're playing in a different time slot or you set the PVR. And we talked how, you know, Leicester became that team into the fall or Spurs became that team, into the winter. As someone who doesn't have a team to watch every week anymore, there's one team to, you know, kind of pay a focus to or one team to prioritize. It's absolutely United.
And it's not to support them.
No, it's not to support them at all.
Out of complete interest, how will this group of
intrigue
billion-dollar misfits gel together?
I still need to be entertained, and I need my footy fix. And let's be honest, I just can't get it from radio broadcasts of a scoreless draw at Derby. I get that as well, but I need the visual stimulation.
Draw this weekend, the Nigel Pearson Derby?
Yeah.
Could have been yours.
Could have been. Yeah.
How's Di Matteo doing so far? You happy?
Well, they look considerably different. They look inspired. I still don't know if they have enough to challenge over the marathon that is, you know, the 75 match championship season. Feels like 75 matches.
I think it is 75, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly 75, in fact.
Before Christmas.
But I think that I think they're in a good position. They're going to have to string together some wins at some point, but there's still some chemistry that needs to be built. And if there's anything we learned from Rio, you know, chemistry is not an exact science. So Roberto Di Matteo will put that together.
Maybe we'll bring back the championship corner, only it's with you and not Dobby.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no one wants a League One corner. I mean, come on.
Well, if you want a League One corner and your name isn't Stephen Dobby, we'll bring it back.
Send us a tweet. But we may just see it.
Maybe a championship corner with Brendan Dunlop. Man City beat Stoke 4-1. They are scoring for fun right now. Aguero with 2 goals. Scored a penalty as well. Nolito with the brace looks really good.
Great
as
purchase.
Well. I want to talk about the controversies here though, quickly. The whole penalty controversy is kind of crazy, right? So Shawcross and Otamendi. Okay, grabbing his arm, that was a penalty. Joe Allen then gets bulldozed down in the box. Like, I don't know what's a penalty nowadays, because if that isn't a penalty, I have no freaking clue, especially when soon in the second half we see Raheem Sterling, 110 pounds soaking wet, manhandling Ryan Shawcross.
Mm-hmm.
He barely touched him with his arms out lengthwise, and they call a penalty. Now, it must be a makeup call, I suppose. After the referee saw the Joe Allen replay and thought, how the hell did we not call that? But I don't know. Very, very concerning. If that's going to be the standard for penalties being called this season,
there's going to be a lot of goals scored.
Yeah.
And no wonder Rooney's upset that Ibra's taking penalties.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not upset. Apparently it was up to the players. Jose said, going back to that game, sorry, quickly, because that was a story, actually. Jose said post-match, it was Pogba, Rooney, or Ibra. They're my takers. I leave it to them to decide who goes first.
Huh.
Ibra took it first. I think it's a bit of a statement, actually.
Yeah,
anyway,
for
sorry,
sure.
Back to this game.
I don't know if I'd believe that, though. And if you're Mourinho, you really want to let those three decide it? I mean, Pogba's got no chance, I guess, unless Ibra gifts it to him.
I know. You know?
Which would be a great post-match story that Ibra would tell.
It shows a power shift, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. To go back to the penalties and the officiating, I mean, the fact that the bookings that will fly around for chirping back at the officials, that's one thing. Harry Arthur got sent off. He got his first yellow in the West Ham match there yesterday for chirping back at the referee, which, and in fairness too, it wasn't a handball. It wasn't his fault. But he chirped back and got booked. And then in the second half, he completely forgot that he'd been booked. So he, you know, went at a typical useless challenge late in the match just to slow down the pace and got sent off. And you're going to see that happen a lot
yeah,
but if you're going to give it that way, I think you have to be more accurate with your penalties and awarding penalties, and they haven't been that.
You can understand the players being aggrieved
when in that city
those kind of calls are being made or not being made.
Yeah, the City fans have nothing to be aggrieved about, though. That they look really good. I don't expect this goal count to continue, though. I think it's going to slow down considerably.
September 10th is the big derby.
Mm-hmm. After that, they'll only score a goal a match.
Yeah, probably. No, but I mean, the way they're moving the ball around, it's great to watch, isn't it? And the way they're running.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we criticized this team so much for the lack of urgency,
mm-hmm.
the lack of running. And Pep, he says they run and they fight for each other. Mm-hmm. That's something you didn't see or say ever last season.
Well, look at some of the players in the side. I think that's part of the reason, right? I think
you say that, but who ran the most on the weekend? Can you guess?
Oh, you got this. Got some preparation on those notes with highlights.
Actually, I had all my notes I made on the weekend in my book.
And your dog
left it at home. Left it at home.
Really?
So I came in this morning about 9, quickly scribbled some stuff down.
And you're still late? You left me in here?
That's why
half
I was late,
my sandwich
I was
alone?
Crap, all my notes are at home.
My bagel belt?
Who
ran the most
in that
match?
City, you know, think about their players and who might jump out as a guy that would be showing great industry, as they say in the trade.
Well, I think that Sterling runs a ton. But I bet you it was, De Bruyne didn't play the whole match. So who ran the most? Oh man. Was it Kolarov or Zabaleta?
Let me ask you, who would you think would run the least apart from the goalkeeper? Who, it means not Neuer anymore for Pep. So who would run the least?
Probably John Stones.
Okay. No, the actual answer, who ran the most?
Yeah.
Was David Silva.
Okay.
Of all players, who has never been known for a guy to really bust his ass. He's
yeah.
a wonderful player, sublime little touch, creative, but he's more of a standstill kind of guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
David Silva ran more than anyone, which just shows how this kind of mental shift in this team, which comes obviously from Pep, he gets these players playing great. And we can talk about the tactical nuance and what he brings to teams, but he gets players working hard. And the way they win the ball back now.
Yeah.
My God. I mean, I forget the number, the stat, but they get the ball back within, like, you know, 5 or 6 seconds of losing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. That's Barcelona-esque under Pep.
And that's going to go a long way in the Champions League if they play with that same intensity, which in the past, and it's not just City, but particularly City most, I think, glaring, they play a completely different game in Europe. So if they can play like that in the Premier League against a team like Stoke, especially away, hard place to play, and a place where once you get a lead, it's very easy to sit back and relax your style. You know, you run the risk of becoming complacent. They didn't do that, especially when Nolito came on. It was as if they were working to get him a goal and work him into the side.
Yep.
Nolito's a fantastic signing.
I think it's a great signing too. Fits him really well.
He really shined at Europe for those that didn't for those that didn't know who he was, and he's absolutely full suited for that side. And might be a bargain come the end of it for how little they paid for him.
And the way we're seeing, like, Raheem Sterling, it's early, but mm-hmm. it's as if Euro never happened.
Yeah.
As if last season never happened.
Yeah.
This kid's playing really well again. He's got that confidence. He's been given the confidence.
I think he's also, you know, he seemed like someone who really wanted to make up for that as well, which when he was at Liverpool, you know, criticized for being cocky, being full of himself. I mean, it seemed like every few weeks he was in the papers for wanting to do his deal over again and get paid more. Mm-hmm. But it really seemed like he took this struggle to heart and has really worked his butt off in the offseason and said he will benefit from it.
Joe Hart still remains on the outside. Although Big Sam says he'll be in his England squad regardless. Pep says, though, that, listen, if he wants to leave, he can leave.
Yeah.
But he can also stay. And, you know, essentially he challenged him to, well, fight for your job.
Right.
And Joe Hart might, I can see Joe Hart doing that.
Yeah,
he seems to be the kind of character that, you know, he's not going to, you know, just lie down and roll away. He'll try and fight for his job and show Pep that, yeah, I can play with my feet. He says, you know, Pep believes so strongly that a keeper must have good feet.
Yeah.
And must be able to distribute.
In the group stages, does he get starts in the Champions League?
That's a good point. That might be his opportunity.
I don't think you can go with Willy.
Well, you know,
every time.
Is Claudio Bravo going to be the keeper? Because if he comes in, then forget it, Joe. You're not going to play. Simple as that, right? And that is a strong rumor. I mean, obviously, Barcelona are trying to raise some, I think they've got some other deals worked out, replacements, etc. When that's done, Bravo arrives. And he's a good goalkeeper, Bravo.
Yeah. I don't know if he's any better, to be honest.
Obviously, he's probably better with his feet, which is what Pep wants. But, I mean, as a shot stopper, I don't know. It's a shame because I don't think Joe Hart's... You want to see some of these long-term City guys stick around under the new setup there. But
you don't want to see Hart go to Sevilla? You're not excited
for
that?
I would. Personally, I would love to see
that link to me
English
is weird,
players
though.
Going overseas. I want to see more of that. Mm. Probably help them out a lot.
Less so
goalkeepers maybe, but certainly, you know, outfield
position players.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a few players, though, that it would be too much for them. Like if Sterling had gone to Real, would have ruined him.
Well, he wouldn't have played. It would have been a Michael Owen situation.
Or any fantastic young Turk who ended up getting a move to Real Madrid and didn't materialize.
Or Barcelona.
Yeah.
Arda Turan.
Well, he's getting some time now.
Yeah, not last season, though. I mean, obviously, until January, you didn't play, but you didn't see much after that. Chelsea beat Watford 2-1. Two late goals. Badashui scored a little tap-in. And then Costa, who already had a second yellow for dissent on the season.
Yeah.
Two yellows now in two games. Didn't see that one coming, did you?
No.
Wow. But still, he was he's good. He seems like a perfect fit for that attitude that Conte's trying to put in there, isn't he?
I love Conte's attitude too on the touchline. And you see him in the press conferences as well and beforehand, and he played down the rivalry with Mazzarri and that. And one thing I didn't expect to see was him laughing so much in his press conferences. You know, he seems really up for it. He seems
enjoying
to enjoy. Yeah,
making the adjustment.
Really enjoying the job, and I think I think he's very comfortable with his team. I think he knew what he was getting himself into before he went to Euro with Italy. And I think that really has made it easy for him. And you know that he didn't take any holidays. He went straight to work and was able to piece together a side.
So why then have they been so quiet in the transfer window?
I don't know if they had to be so loud. I think defensively, yeah. He wanted Stones. I think that he kind of hopes that he's going to get an Italian influx at some point.
Right? From Napoli. Mm. Wants him bad.
But as far as, you know, this is still a top four side, even with their frail, vulnerable back line is probably a better descriptive word.
It seems, you know, because obviously all eyes are on those three new managers, including Mourinho. And the top two, Mourinho and Pep, you know, their clubs are playing with such panache so far, whereas Chelsea's been a bit more workmanlike, a bit more grinding.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not quite getting the same press as the other two teams, but they're still unbeaten in two games, right? And they're still, although, I mean, listen, they were pushed late by Watford. Watford played really well.
Yeah.
They had difficulty breaking them down, but eventually, you know, the star shone. And Fabregas off the bench for the second straight week looked really good and got the assist. 26 assists now since he arrived back in the Premier League. No one's got more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was wondering where Fabregas fits into Conte's team, and so far it's been as their super sub.
Great ball
in the game, right?
To spring Costa
superb
there.
Ball, yeah.
And Costa looks hungry.
He should have been sent off, some would say, though, for that dive in the box as well.
He also could have been sent off the week before.
And that challenge on Kapuwe, that, I see, we joked about it on the show on Saturday, that he cleaned Kapuwe's clock.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that kind of shifted momentum like in hockey.
Yeah.
Then there's the Justin Bird. There's your hockey reference, by the way.
Oh, he's look like at a, you reading the tweets.
Yeah, like a power forward.
I was looking for that one.
He cleans him out, shifts momentum, and they come back with two late goals. Oh, baby, there's a game of soccer going on.
How long before you bust that one out on the show? First Saturday night of the year, maybe?
I might actually. Well, I guess you used that hockey reference in the show Saturdays.
What if they allowed you to do I can't think of the reason, but what if you got to do a double ender with Bob Cole? Would you be able to get through it? Or would you
I'd
a schoolgirl?
I'd be
school
so
girl?
Starstruck.
Yeah,
I'd be like.
But a double ender, for those of you not in television, is he's not in person. He's on a
split screen
in a studio, you know, somewhere else.
Talk
so
back
you're literally just
also,
speaking
right?
to him. Yeah, talk back as well. Yeah. But it's basically like talking to, you know, your idol on the phone.
Yeah.
He can't see you, but you can see him through a monitor.
What people don't know, the truth behind TV, is often those double enders are done hours before via phone.
Shh.
Sorry. Shouldn't be saying that. Giving away the secrets. And you've got to time it perfectly.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass sometimes.
So if
especially
think-
if someone else does the phone interview right. for you, which happens as well sometimes. Happened a lot in soccer over the years because we had no, back at the score, for example, we generally couldn't do live double enders.
Right.
So we had to fake it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'd be doing a double ender with whoever it's going to be, Gareth Rees in Vancouver for rugby or whoever it's going to be. And it's done hours before by someone else sometimes. And then, you know, you got to get the pacing down right. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So
much rather do it live.
You basically have to fit it to time and
generally
get the question
speaking,
out. And then
here we do it live.
Try and make it look natural. But yes, if you're watching the television and you see one of us and you feel like we're dragging our words out really slow. So, yeah. Andre.
He's rambling here.
I mean, you and Bolt.
Because in your ear, you've got the count, yeah. 10.
You're trying to hit
oh
it.
My God, but I've asked a question.
Yeah.
I've got 10 seconds to fill. Yeah. So what do you think about that when you get around to thinking about it? Because, you know, it was a big race and, you know, it was close to the end then. We saw it. Yeah, go. It's very hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
I always rush to the end, too.
I know.
You drag it out really slow. Andre, you and your Puma buddy really bonded at Rio. What was that like? You still can Dutch.
Exactly.
Yeah, I always hit them like that.
10 seconds is like a lifetime, and then suddenly the PA and the, you know, 2 seconds! Yeah. 1 second!
Here's a tip. Try to speak in the same pace.
Yeah, no matter where you are. Inside joke there. A little bit of an inside joke. But yeah, that's why we're such highly trained professionals.
Mm.
It's why we make so much money.
Frauds.
Leicester tied Arsenal 0-0.
That was a real disappointing game.
It was. But I think if you're Leicester, you are really happy.
Oh, yeah.
That's for them.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, a really important performance. Because that proved that, listen, sure, they might not win this year, but they're still a legitimate good team who played against a team that, well, we'll get to Arsenal shortly, but are considered one of the better teams, and they looked as strong, and they don't often beat Arsenal. I think it's been like 1 win in 20 games or something. But, you know, they were very much up for the challenge, and you couldn't really tell who was a better team in that match.
Yeah, it was certainly a coin toss. I think both sets of fans would have wanted more, though Leicester certainly happy with the result in the end. I thought this was an original idea of mine that I said on the show Saturday, but now I think I may have taken it from you at some point. I don't know if I saw it in a web clip, but did you say that there's no must-win games in August, but this is as close to a you-really-shouldn't-lose-this-game as
I
possible?
I didn't. No, no, it wasn't
no,
me.
No, it wasn't you?
Who wrote this? Someone wrote that, though. Forget who it was, though. Yeah.
But when I wrote it on Saturday in the show, I felt like it was a completely original idea.
Not really.
Until I went to tell the story now and thought, wait a second. No, I got that from somewhere.
So basically, it wasn't a must-win game as far as obviously points are concerned, but a must-win game,
it's
why?
The middle of August.
Why?
Well, just because of how they both had started. I mean, less, you know, for a champion to start the season with 2 losses, it's equivalent of losing 10 in a row or being a side with no expectation. Everyone's got you pegged to go down and you've lost 2 in a row. Let's keep in mind this is a team with better odds to go down than to repeat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And obviously the pressure that Wenger puts on himself every year because he waits until the final day of the window to do his shopping.
Well, I mean,
sweating.
In fairness, there could have been a Leicester win, right? There were 2 pretty good penalty calls
mm-hmm.
for Leicester, especially the second one, I thought. Bellerin on Musa. Musa comes on, and boy, he's exciting, isn't he?
He is.
He's so quick.
Yeah.
And he burns Bellerin, in fairness, if you've seen the play, he breaks into the box on the left-hand side, and he does well. He kind of cuts inside in front of Bellerin to make it very difficult for Bellerin, who then clatters him.
Mm.
That was, to me, a clear-cut penalty, but it wasn't given. 0-0. The fans are getting on Wenger hard right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't seen this edginess before, I don't think, from Arsenal fans.
It's definitely been building. I think even those that, you know, want to stay neutral or want to support the boss find it really hard because, you know, they're paying the highest ticket prices in the league. They can't compete with teams who haven't been in the top 4 before, like Leicester. And I shouldn't say can't compete, but I mean, you'd still expect a side like Arsenal, and certainly on paper next to this team, to be able to grind out that win. If it's going to be a coin toss, if it's a 50-50 match, a team like Arsenal should be winning
absolutely
that match.
Absolutely. And when Wenger comes out post-match and says, you know, what matters to me is when you have to pay a club with 600 employees. Now, it's just not a clever thing to say.
How many statisticians do you need?
I know. And are you putting it on the employers, the guys making close to minimum wage?
Yeah.
You know, it's just and fats is quite interesting. Let me find this because I saw it just before it came on air today. There's been a letter written and released on Twitter and apparently written to Arsenal by a club employee who's quit.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but let me just find it here for you.
Is it someone from the concession union?
It's someone from the club shop.
Oh, because the idea of, you know, 600 employees that the club actually thinks of, and especially that the manager would even know that number to understand the business principle. I mean, that's shocking.
Yeah, I agree. Let me just say
it. And unrealistic.
This year, where is it?
I think that Gunners have, you know, the most right of any Premier League fan to complain. They pay a ton. They have, you know, high expectations. They're a storied club. They should be contending all the time, be it in the transfer market or on the pitch. And they haven't been in the last 5 years.
Here it is. Just came down now. And again, we don't know if it's true. It could be just something that Twitter's created, but it sounds pretty legit. Please accept this letter of resignation. I'm an avid fan for the club, and it's with great regret to inform you I am resigning from my job working for Arsenal Football Club. Please accept this 2 weeks notice. I've enjoyed my 2 years working in the Arsenal store. As a fan, it's been a dream working for the club I love. My decision for leaving is due to Mr. Wenger's comments about staff after the recent draw against Leicester. To blame having to pay the 600 people working at Arsenal Football Club for not buying a player is a disgrace. I earn £7.20 an hour and work 37 and a half hours a week. I get paid £270 a week over 52 weeks. That's £14,040 a year. Theo Walcott earns 10 times that in a week. Hopefully, with my wage off the club's wage bill, it will free up the cash for Mr. Wenger to buy more players. I no longer wish to be a burden at this club. Today, the club employees reduces to 599, and there is one extra person in line on the doll queue. Good luck, and I hope you will give me a good reference in my new job.
I think that the internet is going to really take to that man, and should his identity come out, he'll probably be working at White Hart Lane in 2 weeks for double the price.
Shop, that would be a message, eh? Making £10 an hour, working at the White Hart Lane club shop.
Wow.
But, you know, it just shows how, you know, I think the fans have just had enough.
Mm-hmm.
And whether Wenger's the right man or not, we're going to find out. But it just seems to me that in this day and age, the time's caught up with him. And for a club of Arsenal's stature, they need someone with more ambition. And that's what I think the fans are realizing now, which is a sad way to see him go out if this is his last year. Because, you know, what he's accomplished there is pretty special.
Yeah.
JBB
too long.
Has tweeted, if Wenger left Arsenal at the end of this season, who are the top candidates for the job? It's so hard to say now, you know, because so many guys will be out of work this time next year. Will Arsenal go the Wenger route and find some guy plying his trade in the Japanese J-League? Or will they go for a big name? Will Diego Simeone be ready for that jump next season?
Mm.
Might be a fit there. Who knows?
Someone in that AVB mold, when AVB made the jump and left too early. I remember that discussion on the podcast many times. I thought it was a bad choice, even though I highly rated him, more so than certainly Chelsea fans did after it didn't work out there, and Spurs fans as well. But I think it would be someone of that mold. I don't think that Arsenal will take the gamble. It's such a different league now. You can't go completely random and completely foreign. You need someone with at least Champions League experience or experience with Champions League caliber players.
So Roberto Martinez, after a year with Belgium.
Yeah.
Right, world-class players. Will then make the jump.
No. But could you? I mean, Marouane Fellaini would be great in that side.
Wouldn't he? Well, at least he's a physical presence.
Yeah. I didn't get it in, but you talked about, you know, how simple Fellaini's been playing and how successful it's been. Guaranteed to be ruined after the first international week and training with Roberto Martinez, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He always makes his players overwork, right?
Marouane, why are you defending?
Yeah.
We don't defend.
You are too attacking. Too tall for defending. We leave that to the defenders.
Yes, yeah. That's a bit cruel. How
my impersonation? Or?
No. Well, a little bit of that as well. Mine wasn't much better. Burnley. How about Burnley?
Yeah.
Beat Liverpool 2-0. Liverpool 81% possession. 81% possession. Yeah. The 19% possession for Burnley was a new record for a winning team in the Premier League, at least since Opta started doing their stats.
Off to Charmin over here with your notes.
I know, but it's one of those odd ones in that had all the ball, obviously, 81%, but Burnley just seemed in control and just quite satisfied. You know what? Here you go. Have the ball. You try and break us down. Yeah. You try, because we are quite confident that you won't. Despite their performance last week when Liverpool scored four past Arsenal,
yeah.
It just wasn't the same attack.
No.
A lot of lateral moving, nothing penetrating at all.
Mm. Well, it could be
very disappointing.
It could be a combination of things. One, everyone was wrong, and the floodlights were not the best acquisition that Burnley made. Sean Dyche, what a coup to get Stephen Defoe.
Oh, he was great too.
He was fantastic at Porto. Then he kind of tapered off, and he didn't look so good in the Belgium side when he got the opportunity. Then he left and fell off the grid. He was in Anderlecht. We just don't see enough of Anderlecht, and he's come back, and you think, oh, Burnley? Okay, well, clearly Defoe's done. He was fantastic. And Andre Gray, player of the year. But
23 goals last year in the championship, and what is looking really dangerous in the Premier League right now.
And I think he's absolutely Premier League caliber player, which
he's a Jamie Vardy type, right? You know, kind of came from the lower leagues. He's 25 now, I think, 26?
Yeah, he's mid-20s.
He's not a kid.
But I wondered if he was going to be able to show that skill that he showed in the championship in the Premier League. And, you know, short sample, but he's certainly capable of playing in this
well,
league.
You're playing against like four absolute pylons in defense.
Well, yeah. But, you know, maybe this will be a cue to Liverpool to retire the Milos Raonic training tops and get a real away strip.
Yeah, you're not a fan of that?
No, they look like Milos Raonic shirts.
I don't like neon shirts. I mean, unless you're Barcelona, Barca, you can do it because you earned the right to wear a neon shirt. I don't like other teams wearing them.
Okay.
I prefer the black last year. Jeff Cunningham, Jeff_Cunning, he says, 81% possession and lose. Why didn't Klopp buy defenders? Lovren, Klein, Reyna, not good enough. Well, he did, right? Joel Matip is still on the bench, not match fit. He'll be a big addition to that back four. I think a really good addition when he's healthy. Sacco's obviously in the doghouse with Klopp, and also he's not healthy either right now.
Yeah.
He showed enough last year, I think that.
Is he still suspended, though?
It's very murky. I think he's got an injury right now, but obviously he was sent home from the tour for being, not very punctual. Certain. I think he's almost late for the flight out there. He missed a team meeting or something.
But his suspension was
six
months?
You mean the UEFA suspension? Oh, no, it was overturned.
Oh, it was overturned.
Yeah, he missed Euro because of it.
Right.
And afterwards, or I think actually midway through Euro, UEFA goes, we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually talk of a lawsuit against UEFA from Sacco.
Wow.
He missed several months. Liverpool missed him in the Europa League final. Could have used him. He was playing great when he was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
So
France could have used him as well.
But there are reinforcements coming. I agree with Marino. James Milner playing at left back.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Milner fan.
Yeah.
He's not a left back, though. It just shows how poor Moreno has been that Milner starts there. I thought, on a Canadian standpoint, Scott Arfield was big out there. He was so good. He worked his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Blocking shots, decent passer of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Really bodes well for Canada, that does. He looks to be quite the thing in midfield.
Good. I'm excited for the next round of qualifiers.
Yeah, me too. You know, not far off.
Where are those games? On the others?
Yes. Okay. It hasn't been announced yet.
We'll just read it then.
We'll find it somewhere.
Yeah, read about it later.
I don't know. Who are they playing next? Can I even think?
In Vancouver, it's El Salvador, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Could be right. I'll just find some El Salvadorian radio feed.
Look that up before you listen to this later.
Yeah, all right. But anyway, yeah. Good for Burnley, though. Shows that they're not going to be easy to be straight back down, I think, given their
work.
I love this stat, though. 852 passes to 207.
Wow. What a difference.
That's crazy.
Which is, also, too, it's like the quality when you go around Anfield and then walk around Turf Moor.
Very quickly here, Spurs beat Palace 1-0. Janssen up top for his first start. Looked pretty good. Harry Kane kind of just behind him in that 10 spot.
He's tired. He's tired, man.
Got the assist on the Wanyama goal.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like himself. He certainly doesn't look fresh.
We always see hangovers for players who have played at European Championships, whether they've been successful or not.
Mm.
He might be one of those.
But he was tired before he went there.
Everton beat West Brom 2-1. Sunderland fell to Borough 2-1. Stuani with two goals, including just a bullet.
Yeah.
Check out sportsnet.ca for those highlights. Me too. They're playing really well.
I like Borough.
Yep. West Ham, of course, you mentioned that. Hull big one again. They beat Swansea 2-0.
Fancy.
6 points. I mean, you can't understate how important these 6 points might be.
Oh, yeah. This could keep them up.
It could.
Absolutely. Points from six with 13 players in the roster. Good on you.
Luca Toni's son, friend of the show. He says a Hull City is definitely going to Leicester it this year, right?
Yeah.
No.
No.
But again, last year, this time when Leicester were playing great, we dismissed them as well. So you never know, Tony. It could happen.
If you're Michael Laudrup, you know, and you're just burning in the Dubai or wherever it is he is coaching out there, don't you want to get back and have a team like this? You know, someone with little to no expectations.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like, someone you can mold. And then if it doesn't work out, there's absolutely no pressure. Go back and make your paycheck.
Yep. Why not?
You know?
Why not? All right. That's the Prem story. Quickly recapping.
Recapping would insinuate we've lost something.
Which, well, we lost dignity.
It did. And I've lost all the time in the world to watch the Serie A, which
I know.
Makes me
I didn't
sad.
Watch it this weekend. I couldn't get around to watching it. I had no time.
It's too bad because there's someone working on that broadcast for the other four letter. And you put these two people together and you have phenomenal television. Our friend Thomas Rongen.
Yes.
And they've brought Tancredi to Miami.
Have they really?
And they were sitting on the sofas together.
Rongen and Tancredi? Did they get on?
Oh my God. It was phenomenal.
Did they get on? I mean, they're gonna butt heads.
Oh, at some point. But who wouldn't Rongen get on with? At least in the immediacy.
TR is very vocal on Twitter now. Have you noticed?
Well, he's changed his account, so no, yeah. I haven't noticed.
No, I had to refollow
him. Which one is he now? Me as well.
Yeah, because he closed one down, and then he popped up suddenly. Someone retweeted, oh, TR's back, so I had to follow him. And he's all over it.
Really?
Okay. He's all over it.
I'll have to pay close attention. So
A lot of the old retweet with comment as well. So he's engaging with his viewers.
Well, he just wants us to see all the love that he gets. That's what it is when people do that.
Quickly though, Higuain scored in his debut despite being called fat by a lot of fans.
Did you see him? He's fooled all of us. You know, here we thought out of shape, what a waste of money. No, he was just carb loading for a long season. He looked quite slimmed down actually.
Yeah,
looked like a fighter before a weigh-in.
Football is fat. It's hilarious. You want to see fat? I'll show you fat.
Yeah, watch us Thursday nights.
Spain, Barcelona 6-2 Betis, yada yada yada. Yeah, Suarez a hat trick, Messi 2. Suarez 17 goals now in his last 6 games. Wow, at what point do we start saying...
Is that the actual number?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
At what point do we start talking about him in the same breath as Messi and Ronaldo? Just currently on... I mean, 17 goals in 6 games. It's ridiculous.
It is nuts. But you know what the problem is? Because he, you know, his prime years are still overlapping Messi and Ronaldo's prime years, you're not going to have that conversation
I'm saying it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but those numbers are just... off the charts.
We'll give Neymar all the love. Are we going to give Neymar any love, by the way?
I've got it written down here. It's coming up.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to jump the order.
Real Madrid beat Sociedad 3-0. Bale 2 goals. Mm-hmm. One inside 90 seconds or something. I think it was. Looking pretty good. Anyway, okay, here's your chance then. Olympics. Right, Brazil, Germany 1-1. Brazil win 5-4 on penalties. Neymar, the former captain, as he announced post-match, finally lifts some silverware for his home country. Good for him.
Yeah. If I was him, I'd never play for Brazil again. Well, you can't top it.
Well, you can't top it. The World Cup.
He won't do it, though. He knows it. Look at that side. Look at the people coming up. I mean, this under-23 team is nothing like the teams we've seen in the past. And I'd like to compare player for player, but certainly name and notability-wise, 4 years ago they lost to Mexico, there was more names in the side.
But they beat Germany.
They did beat Germany. They won on penalties. But still, all the power to them. Fantastic trophy case. And the emotion, too, especially from Neymar, someone who we criticize for being so full of himself, for, you know, questioning his love for the badge and whether he really is it about the crest on the front or about the name on the back, and to see how much that meant to him and to the whole team and the Americana, you know, what a night for them.
Okay. But to wait until the post-match to announce you're quitting as captain makes it about him.
Mm.
You wait. Wait until the next selection for the internationals. Do it next week. Like, just wait. Don't take anything away from that moment. And they're saying, oh, yeah, we won the Olympic gold. Rio's going nuts. But well, you know what? I'm quitting as captain. So let's change the narrative here, shall we? So we're
just
talking about
him quitting
there rather than Brazil winning.
We criticize athletes for being so reserved, so closed up, so unwilling to share.
Him. Yeah, you can celebrate, but he makes it about him. I think it's just a selfish thing to do.
I think you're right.
All right. Shall we move on to our final segment?
Ooh.
A return. We had a little show many years ago. Must be, what, like 20, 25 years ago, it feels like.
On a shoestring budget.
A little shoestring budget. On satellite radio, hardcore sports radio. It's where we actually our little bromance began. all those years ago on that show, we had a segment called Man in the Mirror. Now, Man in the Mirror was an opportunity for me to peruse some of the lesser papers and find the ridiculous headlines. Often it came from the Mirror, strange enough, hence the title. But it's going to return, and we even have the right music to cue it up.
We paid a ton of money for these rights.
This is a throwback. This is reminding me of those halcyon days back in 2007, so whatever it was.
For those who are unaware of how fantastic British journalism is, in the Daily Mirror, there are some phenomenal stories that you will not read anywhere else. And this one spoke to me right away. Plus-size porn star NHS worker wins £2,000 payout after being sacked when double life was exposed.
Double life, really?
Wow, yeah.
That's quite the story.
Kathleen Molly starred in saucy films such as Omar's Fat Bird Frenzy and offered and offered kinky services including adult baby minding for 120 quid an hour.
Is that David Gold and David Sullivan's company?
I don't think there's any, you know, any connection. But poor Kathleen, you know, she moved on with her life. This working in the NHS, she was, I'm assuming from this, a nurse, you know, but her old life and her stage name, which is Dylan DeVere. I don't know.
She's a plus-size porn star.
She's a plus-size porn star, right. And she's been sacked. So now she's standing in line on the dole with Arsenal shop worker, and that isn't right. But thankfully, the Mirror shared the story with us. And
thank you. That was brilliant.
We shared it with you.
Any more? Is that it?
I think that's it. I don't want to give too much. You know, less is more.
All right. Good, good. Bits and bobs.
Okay.
Got to mention the hip. Now, we don't share the same taste in music.
No, we don't.
Not even close.
Nope.
You know, you don't even know who Freddie Mercury was before I mentioned him to you. But you didn't know who Florence the Machine was, for Christ's sakes.
I knew who Freddie Mercury was. Your shirt is a silhouette. And at that time, the only person who looked like that was Borat. That's where this comes from.
Hey, Shams, why are you wearing a Borat t-shirt? You should have... God damn it.
I'm surprised you ever worked with me again.
I know, me too.
Yeah. Well, that's because you have this weird... He's like your idol.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for someone who has many other loves, of which I know, football and other sports and other music, I didn't know that you got the lower back tattoo of Freddie Mercury and how much it means.
I haven't got a tattoo. I thought about getting a tattoo of Freddie Mercury, actually. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, but the Hip concert, did you watch it? Did you care about it? Do you like the Hip? Have you listened? Do you know who the Hip are?
I do know who the Hip are. Yeah. I never really listened to them. I wasn't really into it. You know, it seems like many people in my age bracket rather recently got into them. Be it because it was trendy or because someone had introduced them to him. I just never did. But there wasn't a monitor in this newsroom.
Of course you were, yeah. You were
that
working.
Didn't have them on, though. There was, I forget what games were going on at the same time that I was trying to pay attention to, and every other person had the sound up on that show.
I hate to think how the numbers across all the networks must have dipped considerably on Saturday night between 8:30 and 11, because I think everyone was watching that concert.
Well, it certainly seemed like every city was having a party in some general square. You think Union Station had screens up? Young and Dundas Square had screens up?
I was at a party, had the big screen up, projector. It was great. And everyone I know was somewhere watching that moment. Big, big moment for Canadian history. It really was.
When I saw the first shot of the square in Kingston, I thought that they were doing the show outside. And when the show started, they're in the 6,000.
Is it Market Square?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've never been to Kingston, but when I believe you're right. But when they opened the shot and you realize they're in the 6,000-seater OHL arena, Fake Stats Canada on Twitter, which tweets some phenomenal comedy, by the way, tweeted, in 20 years, 73% of Canadians will claim to have been at that final match.
Exactly. So true. So true. It made me, I'm watching that, and it made me regret not spending the $500 on StubHub for a ticket to one of their long shows. I came close, but I can't do it. I just can't do it. And now it's like, I should have done it. Anyway, wonderful moment. Emotional evening, that's for sure. And that's something that will live long in the memory.
Yeah. As will, I think, Rio 2016. Olympics were great.
They're fantastic.
I was very entertained, and I was one of the many cynics who thought that these games... You know, wouldn't go on, they wouldn't finish, the venues weren't ready, and, you know, thankfully security wasn't the nightmare issue that it could have been and the nightmare issue that many people feared. And, you know, we're talking about Ryan Lochte being an idiot and green water and the, you know, bad chemistry and bad science. But overall, the games from the athletic standpoint were a success. They went on, and You know, now we've got this void to fill. The Olympics are over.
Can we just, there's some really dumb sports though at the Olympics.
Okay.
Dumb sports.
What do you want to do away with?
Okay, there's one that has to just go away.
Let me guess.
It's been there forever.
The one where the man soiled himself.
That would be the one.
First.
Race walking.
Mm-hmm.
What an absolute joke. I'm sorry. I think I read somewhere, Bob Costas mentioned it. He said it's like being the loudest whisperer. Isn't that a great, great metaphor?
Yeah.
It's, my God, you look ridiculous.
Yep.
You failed runners. If you want to go for a walk, great, go for a walk. It's a pastime. Mm-hmm. It's a hobby. Take your dog with you.
But could you imagine like having to speed walk like 50 kilometers?
I'm not doubting these guys are athletic and athletes. It's just the whole concept's stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. But you'd
go
yourself
for a run.
Too if you were going for
that
50 kilometer
something
walk.
Something else, the guy that sold himself then got the sponges involved. Are we supposed to respect that? Well, he's such a true to his art, so devoted, trained his entire life. Every one of us trains to walk every day, right? I'm walking to my car after this. I'm training for the Olympics now.
Yeah. I just want to see you walk with that hip swing that they have.
And when you see like young guys, like early 20s, otherwise great athletes doing this, like, could you not have chosen a different sport to be successful at?
So if you're like cycling, as you do your many modes of cardio, can't just be, you know, hot yoga workouts all the time. and you saw someone in their early 20s speed walking down Queens Quay.
I'm taking him
Would
out.
You push him over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very least, stop and give him a good shake. Say, look at yourself. What are you doing? Do you have any idea how stupid you look right now? I hope right now we're not upsetting Lance, who's a marathon runner and might be training for a marathon walk at some point.
But I think that's unfair to assume that they would have any, you know, they're the same at all. Marathoners? Those are athletes.
No, I wasn't. I'm saying, but perhaps Lance is training to be a marathon walker.
Ugh.
No, he's not. Okay, good.
Lance has got a lot of class.
Yeah. And it's just no sport. I laugh at rhythmic gymnastics. Any of these subjective sports, like sports quotation, I laugh at. Mm-hmm. I get angry watching road walking. I actually get angry watching it. Anyway. Right, that's a long podcast with two of us.
Hopefully you weren't angry listening to this podcast.
I'm sure off the top talking about Icelandic breakfasts, they probably were.
This is what happens, you know, when
Dobby's got to work. We've been off 2 weeks for the Olympics. Got to prepare the show.
I know, he's
what are we gonna
two,
talk
3 weeks
about?
Off. I know. Oh,
I'm sure your hosts don't have any opinions. They can't plan a show themselves.
God forbid.
I got to be here.
Is that how Dobby talks?
That's how Dobby talks.
Yeah. All right. I hope you enjoyed that. You probably didn't. We're back on Thursday. For the podcast, myself and Molinaro, we'll talk some German soccer because the Bundesliga kicks off next weekend, a bunch of other stuff. Lance Candy behind the glass, thank you so much, Lance. Brendan Dunlop, thank you. I'm James Sharman. As always, my profuse apologies.